south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. As you know, lately I've done a few shows about shipping things down here to Latin America. That's a very big issue because very few gringos and expats come down with just a couple of suitcases and say, that's it. In fact, when I came down so many years ago, I shipped a container of household and personal stuff. And then after I was down a while and saw a great business niche, I shipped two more containers down with all the necessary items to start that business. Now, note, that was such a long time ago, about 24 or 25 years ago, that if it were today, I wouldn't have had to ship those last two containers down at all because all the stuff's available down here. Not only that, if I had to rethink the whole thing and do it all over again, I would have definitely sold all those household goods off and not shipped that first container down either. Although I would have shipped down some of the special tools and construction equipment, but that would have fit into a couple of boxes, maybe taking up the space of a large sofa, and that would have been much easier and simpler to ship down. So it's true. About 95% of everything you can get up in the States, you can get down here now. There's still that 5% or so. The oddball and newly marketed stuff up in the States, you just can't get down here yet unless you order it from Amazon or wherever. Or have someone who's going back and forth buy it and bring it down for you. Anyway, in the last few shows, I thought I covered most of the angles in shipping things down, but there are some new wrinkles in the mix, including some news that just popped up a few days ago. So if you heard the last stuff about shipping, you heard me mention Latin countries do hit you with import taxes ranging from zero to a killer 75% in countries like Brazil and Argentina. Which is why, like I mentioned in the past show, a lot of stuff goes unclaimed by locals, who sometimes, upon receiving a care package from their relatives up in the first world, practically faint when they see what the import duties are. Many just give up, walk away, and abandon the stuff. That said, most Latin countries have between 3 and 5 different import rates, depending on what kind of items you're shipping in. In addition, you'll always have to pay the value-added tax, or IVA, down here, IVA, which in Latin American countries ranges from 10 to 25%. So you'll be stuck paying that no matter what. However, as I've mentioned in recent shows, you can have stuff shipped in at a flat rate like $2.50 a pound, where you'll pay the duties and the IVA. That'll be tacked on by the aduana, and you'll pay that when you pick up the stuff, or when it's delivered. Or you can choose the more expensive flat rate of $6 or $8, whatever, and you pay no IVA, value-added tax, or import tax fees. Remember I mentioned you have those two options, and you can balance it out depending on the weight and the value of the items you're shipping in. So, if you go back just a few shows ago, you'll see I explained it in great detail. Anyway, in most Central American countries, like Nicaragua, Guatemala, Salvador, and Honduras, they have 4 separate import duty categories. The first being 0%. Yes, some items you'll pay no duty at all, like, for example, vitamins, certain healthcare items, some but not all educational items, electronics and computer stuff. And why should some things come in at zero duty? Sure, it's true, Latin American governments are lard-ass, pus-brained idiots, and they steal about every dime that comes through the front or the back door. Well, somehow, someone in the executive branch with more functioning brain cells than spirochetes came to the amazing conclusion that having zero duty would be an incentive for people to send more of that kind of stuff into the country. Perhaps increase the brain power and IQ of the general population. All in all, a very good idea, which makes you wonder how it ever got legislated. All right, so you have those items that have no import duty, but remember, you do pay IVA, which, depending on the country, is 10 to 25%. Now, as for the Central American countries I just mentioned that have a sliding scale that starts at 0%, their next lowest tax category would be 5%. And that would be for prescription medicines, certain types of clothing, used stuff, certain household items. The list of stuff varies a bit from country to country, but if you want that complete list, all you have to do is ask a shipping company that has an office in that country, which is infinitely preferable to going to a Latin American country government website. Sure, you'll find that stuff there eventually, though it certainly will be in Spanish. But just a warning, Government websites, first world ones included, are usually ridiculously complicated for the average user, or just incomplete and full of errors. So anyway, as mentioned, some items can come in with zero duty, some can come with 5% duty. Then there's the 10% duty category. That would be machines and manufacturing items and some used trucks and cars. Then you have the 15% import duty category. Again, you have to check the list, but it includes new vehicles, certain building materials, and products produced within the country they're trying to protect from outside competition. So again, if you ship anything down, you'll want to know what tax import category it falls into, so do check with any shipper located within that country. But again, the problem is, unless you're dealing with a gringoized country like Costa Rica, Mexico, or Panama, you're probably going to have to know some Spanish to send them an email or phone them up to try to get that message across. However, because they think you're going to be a client, they'll be glad to tell you. Okay, that said, I mentioned in a recent previous show that all kinds of little internet ordering companies are popping up everywhere in Latin America. And you probably also know there are hundreds, if not thousands, of internet cafes in every Latin American country. Of course, that's because it's only about 15 to 20% of Latin Americans have a good solid internet in their home. Just too expensive for the average Latin family when they're bringing in $300 or $400 a month. And even though these days even the cheapest phones have internet connections now, they're somewhat smart. Almost all of the poor Latin Americans who have these phones only use the internet connection for WhatsApp, text messaging, and to check their imbecilic Twitter, Facebook, and social media accounts. And why don't they use the internet more? Well, that's because those are pay-as-you-go phones. You know, you charge them up with money. And the users know how many minutes they get for, let's say, putting $5 into the phone. They'll get around 50 minutes, and if it's a double promotion, they'll get 100 or 150 with a triple promotion. Those such offers pop up all the time. You longtime listeners will remember I explained that in great detail in a past show. You're notified the day before with a text message, but you know that already, right? However, the average Latin does not want to use his kinda smartphone for internet services and connections because as soon as they log on, it starts sucking the dough right out of their prepaid account. And of course, the more they connect, and the more apps they have, the more dough it sucks out of their prepaid account. Which is why the average Latin with a prepaid phone, and about 80% of Latin America is hooked up with prepaid phones, they're very hesitant to log on the internet for any extended period of time. Which is why, in the big cities anyway, you can find internet cafes on every second or third corner. And as luck and technology would have it, those internet cafes were in a perfect position to add on the Amazon and eBay internet ordering part of that service. Yep, it was a niche market that needed to be filled, an opportunity just too good to refuse. And that's why most cafe internets now offer internet ordering, as do nearly all mailbox and shipping companies. Now, as for shipping companies, you can go right down to their office and do internet ordering, or you can get on their website and they'll have a page where you can do that, in Spanish, of course. In fact, I have a newspaper article in front of me from September 26. It claims that internet ordering from the States and China, etc., is the fastest growing business in all of Latin America. So you see, as it turns out, Latins are flocking to these shipping company websites and cafe internets because they don't have US dollar accounts. And the cafe internets and shipping companies let them pay for those items in the local funny money so they don't have to have a US dollar credit card or PayPal account, which 98% of Latins don't have. And although 50% of Latins have a debit card, but it's in their local funny money. No good when U.S. internet sites only accept dollars. And sure, it's true, Latins with a Visa or MasterCard in the local funny money can pay for items online. The foreign currency transaction fees are very heavy. So the fact that over 98% of Latin Americans do not have a U.S. dollar account has created an unexpected gold mine for these little cafe internets and shipping companies, as they step in as the middleman using their U.S. dollar Visa, MasterCards, and PayPal accounts, as well as translating everything into English to place the order, taking their cut along the way. So they clean up in a number of ways, because they're charging for their shipping fees and taking a piece of the currency exchange between the local funny money and the U.S. dollar. And what's really accelerated this kind of business is that 98% of Latins don't know how to read or write English either, so those cafe internet intermediaries and shipping companies with websites set up to order from U.S. companies like Amazon have a huge leg up because those pages are not yet in Spanish, and they do the translation and punch in the order in English. However, knowing there's a huge market in Latin America, it won't be long before they lose that advantage, and all the big U.S. internet ordering companies have Spanish language options on their web pages. That said, let me read you a few excerpts from this article that describes the logistics problems and growing pains in Costa Rica and Panama, no less, simply due to the amazing volume of internet ordering this year. Now, remember, Costa Rica and Panama are the bellwethers for the rest of Latin America. They're the trendsetters because there's so many gringos there. So the local Latins are exposed to all the new first world trends well before the rest of Latin America falls in line. Okay, here's what it says. The title is Severe Mail Delivery Crisis Hits Panama and Costa Rica. It says, according to local mail services in Costa Rica and Panama, in the year 2016, internet ordering of packages from the United States has increased 600%, with the year 2016 not even over yet. Okay, did you get that? What business grows 600% in less than a year? I'm telling you, this is unprecedented, unheard of in Latin America. I've never seen anything like it myself. Then it goes on to say, buying from U.S. internet companies like eBay, Alibaba, and Amazon.com has generated a kind of internet buying fever, inhibiting the capacity of the mail systems in Costa Rica and Panama to provide adequate and prompt service. In fact, it says, data from the Costa Rican government mail service indicates that in 2016, in Costa Rica alone, 750,000 packages came from Asia and the USA via internet mail order services, versus 2015, where 90,000 packages arrived. Then it goes on to say the storage facilities at the Costa Rica and Panama mail services are filled to the limit, with people having to wait weeks to months for the government aduanas to process and for them to receive their packages. Now, get this. Doesn't this sound familiar? In Costa Rica, a representative of ANEP, that's the National Association of Public Employees, that would be the Costa Rican Postal Workers Union, are discussing a possible strike. They say it's due to being forced to carry and deliver 50 to 100% more packages than they did in 2015, making, he says, impossibly stressful working conditions for the employees. In fact, he says right now, 33 Costa Rican postal carriers are out on sick leave due to the stress and fatigue these excessive conditions have provoked. By the way, I'm reading this in Spanish, and that's the rough translation. Then he says, some carriers are handling 2,000 packages a day, whereas prior to 2013, the average carrier only had 150 to 200 packages to carry per day. Finally, saying this last month, September, has been an absolute marathon for the workers, where packages coming from China alone have reached 100,000 units. Okay, this takes a bit of explaining. Why am I talking about the Costa Rica and Panama Public Postal Service? Well, I've been talking a lot about private mail forwarding services that will let you order things from the internet right from their offices or on their internet webpage. Of course, gringos and expats aren't going to do that. We're going to order directly from Amazon or Alibaba, whatever, from our own computers. And we'll have them shipped to a Miami forwarding service. That's the fastest and least expensive way. And we will have prearranged that with our shipping company. They'll give us a code to put after our name. It'll land in Miami and end up a couple days later in our Latin country. That's where we'll pick it up or have it delivered to our home or office. Or if you want to remain anonymous, your lawyer's office. But you knew that already, right? Anyway, in some of the more gringoized countries like Costa Rica, Panama, and Mexico, the public government-owned mail services, which aren't half bad these days in Latin America, are also offering internet ordering services from Amazon, Alibaba, etc. Now, I don't recommend gringos do that. I recommend you use one of the private mail forwarding shipping services. I went over all that in previous shows. Anyway, that's not to say if you lived in Costa Rica or Panama, you couldn't have Amazon or Alibaba shipped directly to your home or office using the government mail service, but general delivery is not 100% safe and secure. On occasion, things won't get through. However, if you use a private mail forwarding service, it'll always get through. So why this article? Why are the Costa Rican and Panama government mail services grinding to a halt under the load of packages ordered on the internet? Well, locals use the crap out of it because it's half again as cheap as private mail forwarding services. After all, it is all about the money, right? So to sum it up, government mail services in Latin America, like the U.S. mail up in the States, have various types and classes of mail. You know, first, second, third class, bulk mail, book rate, etc., etc. Now, I mentioned the regular government mail is not 100% secure, but if you pay a little extra and get registered mail, packages will always get through. It's the general mail, the least expensive rate, that occasionally doesn't make it. And that goes for having things shipped in from the States or whatever, or sending things from your Latin country up to the States or anywhere else. Personally, I've used the Panama, Costa Rican, Guatemalan, Colombian, and Mexican mail to ship letters and small packages back to the States and Europe, though I'd never send something very valuable through the government mails. And for a long time, I've always paid just a little extra to get first class or registered mail, and the packages got through every time. But I only started using registered mail after I lost a few packages along the way through regular general mail delivery. Now, admittedly, that was a long time ago, but I still prefer registered mail when using the local government snail mail crap. So for items that are not too valuable, you can use the government mail systems. They work. Though I have heard stories just recently, too, that confirm my suspicions that things still get lost in the general mail. Or, let's say, stolen. Stories of gringos saying mail didn't arrive, or they sent some money or a check through their mail and it got through without the money and the checks. Makes you think there are at least a couple genetically advanced Latins out there, the ones with the X-ray eyes. By the way, speaking of Costa Rica for a second, you know the name of their currency is the colone. By the way, you can always tell a fresh green gringo in Costa Rica when you ask him what kind of funny money they use. He'll say, why, colonies, of course. Not colones, which is the correct native pronunciation. Though I know some Canadians who've been living in Costa Rica for many years and they still say colonies. Go figure, huh? Of course, they still say Costa Rica too, eh? I know, I shouldn't be picking on Canadians. In fact, some of my best friends are Canadians. Hey, at least Canadians can take a joke. Where were we? Oh yeah, they call the funny money in Costa Rica colones, which translates to Columbus. You know, Christopher Columbus. Maybe you've heard of him. The Latin translation for Columbus is Colón, C-O-L-O-N. So technically, Costa Rican funny money means Columbus, plural, or Columbuses. Now, if that ain't weird. Anyway, when fresh green gringos see the spelling of Colón, it always makes some of them snicker or even blush. It's spelled exactly like colon, as in colon cleanse, spastic colon, or colonoscopy. Ew. And for the less mischievous, colon as in semicolon. But hell, that's not much of a memory aid, is it? As for language memory aids, it's always the weirder the better. The sexier the better, too. Hey, I didn't make that up. It's just the way the human mind works. And probably why 99% of us are going to hell. That is, if you're a true believer. Now, there's a reason why I bring up this Columbus stuff. Because, you know, with the huge lag time down here in Latin America on practically everything, they just haven't caught on yet that up in the first world, native and indigenous populations have been tearing down Christopher Columbus statues and paraphernalia for, what, the past 10 or 20 years now? In fact, these days, the only people in the first world who are interested in Columbus as something other than a genocidal slave master psychopath are the Italians. That said, for anyone who's actually read the true story of Christopher Columbus, man, you know what I mean. If he was alive today, well, he would have risen to the top as a politician. So, as people up in the first world in the last decade or so have been tearing down statues and eliminating his name from parks and schools and such, not to mention organizing street protests on Columbus Day down here in Latin America, he's forever the hero. The conquering hero, to be sure. And you know, it doesn't seem to matter that he ushered in a wave of death and destruction like the world has never known. They destroyed cities and temples, tortured and killed off their priests and holy men, enslaved the rest, wiped out their strange religions and replaced them with others, and on and on. Yet, he still remains the all-time Latin American hero, even though up to 80% of some Latin American country populations are indigenous. And that tiny percent of the Latin population that isn't small, dark, and brown, well, they've all got a touch of indigenous in them, but they'll never admit it. If and when the subject of ancestry comes up, they'll always spit out the name of some Spanish or European town and point to a faded portrait of some long-dead Spanish guy, great-great-grandpa from Madrid or Barcelona, that somehow injected his European genes into the family. He's their claim to Europe. He's their claim to fame. Their closest link to guys like Columbus. And you'll never hear about the indigenous side. In fact, most taller, light-skinned Latins will clam up when you mention it. So lag time strikes once again. Things are continuously being named after Columbus, a.k.a. Cristobal Colón. In fact, you know, I predict there's going to be some trouble when Latin America finally catches on to the fact that he was not such a nice guy. And the blowback when all that gathers steam is that there are so many people down here in Latin America with the last name Colón, a.k.a. Columbus. For example, Juan Colón. A lot of guys with that name in your local Latin phone book. Juan Colón. Johnny Columbus. Kind of like that. Sounds like a mob hitman, doesn't it? Hey, some Latin countries have even had presidents named Colón. So what happens when eventually old Columbus gets discredited completely? And of course, judging by lag time, that's going to happen eventually. Well, I guess people with the last name Colón will have to invent a new genealogical story. But you know, that's a small problem compared to the fact there are cities in Latin America with the name Colón. Then again, how about the District of Columbia? The only thing better than a name change there would be a small nuke. But I digress as usual. Anyway, in fact, a city named Colón is the biggest port on the Panama Canal. But you know who's going to have an even bigger problem? How about the country of Colombia? Named after Cristobal Colón himself. Yes, Colombia means Columbus Land. If I was a betting man, I'd say in the future there's a country that's in for a name change. Good old expat Eddie says when the time comes, they should change it to Gringo Rica. Because that's what the big cities in Colombia are turning into right now. Remember, international living and all those big tourist rags are calling it the next Costa Rica. Good luck with that. Can't wait. Okay, enough said about that. Now for something completely different. Well, not exactly. Now, for all you gonna-bes and wannabes up there who are thinking of coming down to get your permanent or temporary residency in any Latin country, here's a bit of advice that people really have to pay attention to. If you remember, on the last show, we were discussing police good conduct reports, and if you're bringing down some documentation that proves a steady source of outside income, like Social Security or pension, which you will need to do in all Latin countries if you're going for permanent residency or pensionado status. In any case, here's something you mustn't overlook when you're gathering up those documents. Make sure the police report, the income statements, and if you're bringing your kids down, that the names and the birth dates on all associated documents match precisely. If, for example, it says John Peter Doe on your passport, your police report and your income statement better say John Peter Doe. Not John Doe, not John P. Doe, not one letter different or missing. Otherwise, when you come down, your paperwork will be rejected, and you'll have to go back and do it again. In fact, just in the last few months, I've heard of two separate cases where a person went for his police report and there was a letter change or a letter missing. And lucky enough, they shipped the scans down to their Latin lawyer first, and he said, no, 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 do it again. These don't match. So he caught it. But if you happen to be one of those smart guys who knows a lot of Spanish and wants to go through it all yourself, that is, if you got more time than money, basically loads more time than money, and you elect to skip hiring a lawyer, you can fight your way through the lines and bureaucracy and do it yourself. I know a few gringos who've done that. Most of them dyed-in-the-wool backpackers who would do anything to save a nickel. Nothing wrong with that. Though Billy Shakespeare called that penny wise and pound foolish. But you know, there are a lot of ways you can mess the whole thing up in the process and basically have to start all over again. However, as one backpacker gringo friend of mine says, Johnny, I don't mind standing in lines. It's an adventure. I'll just bring my iPod and a couple of books. Who knows? Could be fun. What else have I got to do? Well, you know, if you got that kind of upbeat attitude and you don't get pissed off easily, go ahead and try it. My buddy did accomplish that. And though he saved himself quite a bit of money in the process, he estimated he spent at least 9 hours in sweaty, smelly government lines. By the way, eventually he had his iPod stolen on a chicken bus. Didn't listen to that advice either. Oh, and look out if your name happens to be John Peter Doe III, because the Roman numeral 3, or the word third spelled out, could really give a funky result on your national ID card. Because, you see, Latin officials will first assume that the third is your middle name or your mother's maiden name. All right, speaking of names and how to spell them, I met a family whose first kid they named Primero. Primero Martinez. Their second boy was named, get this, Segundo. So you got Primero, which means first, in English. Segundo, which means second. You getting this now? And their third kid, a girl. Tercera, meaning, you guessed it, third. Talk about the ease of remembering the names of the kids in your family if you're confused. You got number one, number two, and number three. Primero, segundo, and tercera. Now, they only have three kids, but you can only imagine what they'd call the fourth. That would be cuarta or cuarto. And the parents' names, well, no such continuity. The dad, Augusto, and his wife's name, Prima, which, by the way, means cousin. Man, lot of weird names here in Latin America. How would you like to have the name 1, 2, 3, 4, or even cousin? Well, that's life down here in Latin America. Wait a minute. Is that so different from the stupid-ass, even vulgar names in the hip-hop community? No. Let's not go there. Oh, and by the way, when someone names their kid after a parent, they don't use the term junior down here. Though, there are some kids named Junior because they copy those names from Americans in English, but they really don't know the meaning. So, in Spanish, when a kid's a junior, they don't say junior, they put an ito, I-T-O, at the end of the name. Like Juan, Juanito. Dad, kid. And for females, they add the suffix cita, C-I-T-A. Maria, Maricita. Now, there are a few mother-daughter, father-son names that don't work out with that method, but in most cases, that's the way it turns out. All right, we're getting towards the end of the show now. I'd like to remind you, you can still sign up for my January 2017 Expat Insider Seminar taking place in and around Guatemala. People say it's the very best way to fast-track your own Latin American Plan B. Just go to www.thenewexpat.com and click on Johnny's 2017 seminar link at the top of the page. And don't forget about those amazing pre- and post-seminar trips, courtesy of the famous John Galt. And for those of you who want to kill two birds with one stone, come down to the seminar and start your permanent or temporary residency. There's no better way than to sign up for the seminar now. And immediately after that, our seminar lawyer and our expat concierge ladies will get in touch with you to get you going on that right away. So why combine the two? Well, it'll save you all that time, hassle, and expense of making another trip down later. And finally, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. That's YouTube/TheExpatFiles. Got over 90 shows up there now. Have a look. You'll get a kick out of them. Do subscribe. It's free.
South of the border.
This is The Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my three videos. See ya. Nos vemos.